Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story told about a biology professor who was an atheist, and every year he began his class by saying to his students that by the time he was finished with them, they would all believe in evolution and all be atheists. And then unfortunately, over the years, many students lost their faith because of his teachings. But then one day, this professor was out walking through the forest and enjoying all of the great beauty that evolution had brought to him, and he was thinking how wonderful the world was. But suddenly, the peaceful quiet was interrupted by a loud growl, and he turned to see what was behind him, and there was a large grizzly bear that began chasing him. The professor began to run, but he tripped on something, and before he knew it, the bear was on top of him, holding him down with one hand, with the other hand, other paw, ready to strike. With terror in his eyes, the professor looked up and said, "God, help me." Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent, and a bright light shone down through the trees. And a voice boomed from heaven that said, "You deny my existence for all these years, and you teach others I don't exist, and now you want me to help?" The atheist professor, realizing the error of his ways and the ridiculousness of his situation, said, "Well, I suppose it's hypocritical of me to ask for your help at this point, but could you perhaps make the bear a Christian?" And the deep voice said, "Very well." The light went out. The sounds of the forest returned. The bear brought both paws together and said, "Lord, for this food which I am about to receive, I am truly grateful." I've got to remember that one. Last week, we saw how God forgives sin. Everyone in our adult Sunday school class remembered that it was King David who was forgiven for the sins that he committed, and that it was the woman who washed Jesus' feet who was considered to be a sinner, and her sins were forgiven as well. And the week before that, we heard how Jesus restored the widow's son to her, and how Elijah also brought the widow at Zarephath's son back to her alive. This week, we hear about Jesus taking on Satan in the form of demons. Just as Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and on the way, you'll remember the story of Jesus walking on the water and calming the storm and calling Peter to walk on the water with him. And now they've gotten to the other side of the lake, and Jesus comes to a man who has a multitude of demons. When Jesus says, "Who are you?" they say, "I am Legion." Legion would mean many, many demons inside of this man who is a Gerasene. Luke, in his writing, is trying to establish Jesus as the one who is the person who solves our deepest and our most profound problems. Jesus is not like a doctor who treats symptoms. He's the one who addresses the very source, the very root of our condition today. He addresses that serpent that was the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the beginning, and the one who began all of the sin in the world as we know it. Luke is pointing out that this Jesus is the one who is the answer to all our problems. He's the one who rose from the dead. He's the one who defeated Satan in that rising from the dead. He's the one who forgives us and who expunges our sins from our record. Jesus is the one who offers us eternal life. And because of all that Christ has done for us, Paul says, when we have faith, then we are heirs with Jesus to eternal life. And as those heirs, we inherit all of the blessings and all of the benefits of God's kingdom. Not because of anything that we do, not because of anything that we have done, and not because of anything that we will do, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Well, if you think about that on the surface, that sounds like pretty easy to be a Christian, I think. All I have to do is believe. Well, you all would realize that it's probably not that easy. It's not that easy as saying, well, all you've got to do is. Anne usually has a list of things for me to do, that typical honey-do list. And she typically says, well, all you've got to do is A, B, and C. And my response is, well, it's just not that easy. You see, the problem with being a Christian is that our human nature gets into the way. It's our desires that we try to satisfy and not the desires of Christ. If you've ever dealt with a toddler, you have run into that problem. Toddlers typically say, no, I want to do it myself. And as adults, we know that we tend to do the same thing by saying, well, I know the right way to do this. I know what needs to be done. Let's do it my way. And if we should decide that, well, maybe we do need a little help solving our problems and getting solutions, there are tons of books out there that are written by experts who will tell us how to handle any situation. And there are therapists who will listen to us and listen to our problems and tell us what we should do. And if that doesn't work, then there are lots of medications out there that will alter our mood or speed us up or slow us down. And if medications don't work, we can always hear the politicians who will say, if you vote for me, I will solve all of the world's problems. And then, of course, in today's society and in this modern world, if the people around us can't help, then we certainly have answers in the internet. There are search engines out there that can provide answers more than we could possibly realize. As I thought about that internet and how it provides answers, I thought, well, if the internet has all these solutions, typically people will say, well, I Googled this or I Googled that, which means you go to that website, the Google website, you type in a question, and it looks up answers for you. I thought to myself, well, what is it that Google doesn't know? Is there something that Google doesn't know? So I posed that question. What doesn't Google know? When you type that question in that little box on your computer screen, Google already is trying to anticipate your question, and it gives you some possible alternatives to your question, and sometimes even the question that you're asking. Apparently, I was not the first person to answer or to ask that question. It was interesting to note that there were lots of other people who had asked similar questions. Google suggested, what does God know about me? What does God know about you? What does God know about us? What does God know about my search history? Which made me think that there are a lot of people out there who are concerned about what their conscience might be telling them. So in reading Google's answers to the question, what doesn't Google know, I came across some interesting things. One group stated, if you have a question, Google has the answer, that's the fact. And another group said, God doesn't know the answer to everything, Google does, join us on Facebook. You see, those answers point out the problem that we humans have. We, even us Christians, tend to think that we have all the answers to all our problems. One woman that I worked with years ago claimed that her mother had told her all of the answers to all of her problems were within her if she could just figure them out. So does Google have all the answers? I would answer that an emphatic no. Google doesn't have the answer. It has millions of answers. You just have to pick the one that seems to work for you. When I asked that question, Google proudly pointed out in the response to my question that it had come up with 120 million answers, and all of that in 6/10 of a second. So I thought to myself, well, if Google has all the answers, let's see what Google knows about God. And I typed that question is, what does Google know about God? The answer was interesting. It came back and said, what does Google think about God? It did not answer the question, what does Google know about God? So Google doesn't have all of the answers. Perhaps we humans have been overtaken by our success. There is so much that we have learned over the last 50 or 100 years about science, about medicine. We have medicines now that treat almost every ailment and every condition. The FDA has approved over 1,400 drugs since their beginning in 1938. That is on Google, by the way. Scientists are close to developing a drug that will reduce the chemical reaction that causes us to be angry. And so you could take that drug and do away with your anger. There are inventions that abound everywhere to make our life easier and safer and more comfortable. And yet we seek answers from therapists and doctors and medicine and politicians. And of course we seek answers from some mindless computer someplace that we look at that looks for answers to our question from other computers around the world. There are so many places we can find answers today that we forget to turn to God first. Remember that question that I Googled, what doesn't God know? The very first answer was this. Google does not know love. Google does not know love. Google just searches other computers that have information about the question that you might have posed. You might think of Google as a route planner who will, when you enter your question, it will say, well, go here first and go there second and go there third. And when you get to 120 million, this is the last one. And it does find answers for you. If you want to know how old a famous person is, type it in, Google will tell you. If you want to know how much $10 in 1928 is worth today, Google can give you the answer. If you want to watch a video on how to replace the fuel filter in your Ryobi tiller, Google will find a video for you. I did that last week. It was great. But Google doesn't know love. Certainly not the kind of love that God demonstrated with his son Jesus. It can't tell you how much God loves you. It can't tell you how much God cares for you. It can't tell you how much God wants you to be his child. In the epistle lesson today, Paul says that this is what we have done. Paul reminds us today that it is not what we have done. It is not what we can do. It is not what we will do. It is not what Google knows that saves us from our sin. So I asked Google that question. How am I saved? Google had 186 million answers in 0.46 seconds. I asked, what makes us a Christian? And Google had 40 million answers in 0.51 seconds. The answer does not come from Google. The answers to those questions are not found in Google. The answer to how we are saved comes from St. Paul, who wrote nearly two millennia ago. The answer that we, as to how we are saved, is that we have faith in God who loves us and who died for us. The answer is that God defeated death and Satan by rising again. The answer is the God who loves us and in whom we have faith. He is the one who saves us. Not Google. Google doesn't know love. Google only knows true. God only knows true love and forgiveness. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.